Welcome to Self-Work. I'm Dr. Margaret. Today we're talking about sexual abuse and rape, so please listen very cautiously. But first, a word from our sponsors. This is Self-Work, and I'm Dr. Margaret Rutherford. At Self-Work, we discuss psychological and emotional issues and what you can do about them, whether that's learning self-acceptance, taking action, or seeking therapy or treatment. 8 years ago, I extended the walls of my practice to reach those of you who might already be knowledgeable about mental health treatment, but also to those of you who might say you'd never darken the door of a therapist. And yet, you are here. I'll answer your questions while I invite you to take a few minutes for your own self-work. It was several sessions in when Tara began to open up more to me, hopefully trusting that she was safe in whatever she had to tell me. She asked that if she told me something, would I have to report it to the police? I answered no, unless there's imminent harm to someone in your home or yourself. Welcome to this week's edition of Self-Work. Today, we're talking about sexual abuse, to be more specific, rape. So if you have any kind of history of abuse, which many of you, I'm sure, do, please listen cautiously as the facts of the case could be highly triggering for you. The numbers for international hotlines can be found in the show notes. You may have heard about the French woman Gisèle Pelicot, who was the victim of multiple rapes by multiple men, including her husband, while drugged. This occurred over many years. All men were found guilty. I know many men who are also appalled by what these men have done, and I've worked with male victims of sexual abuse as well. Yet women live with this kind of fear every day, that the simplest of choices, like turning on a light when you get into your apartment or making a choice to jog a different way home, as now, if someone was watching you, they'd know where you live or they could get you alone. It's a constant fear for girls and women. But more on that later. Our listener voicemail is from someone who finds that she's using a very harsh tone, even screaming at her husband when she gets frustrated. And she says, it's just like my mother used to talk to herself. And she asks for help. Speaking of asking for help, we want to feature BetterHelp today, one of our very first sponsors here at Self-Work. It's a new year. So what might get in your way of making this the year that you ask for help with some problem you're having, feelings that you don't understand, or a conflict that you can't seem to fix? Here's a thought. What if asking for help meant that you wouldn't let anything get in your way of solving an issue, finding out an answer, or discovering a better direction? Asking for help is much more about your determination and your commitment to making your life and the lives of others who love you healthier and more fulfilling, even if it means asking for an outside perspective. BetterHelp, the number one online therapy provider, makes reaching out about as easy as it can get. Within 48 hours, you'll have a professional licensed therapist whom you can text, email, or talk with to guide you. And you're not having to comb through therapist websites or drive to appointments. It's convenient, inexpensive, and readily available. Now you can find a therapist that fits your needs with BetterHelp. And if you use the code or link betterhelp.com/selfwork, you'll get 10% off your first month of sessions. Just do it. You'll be glad you did. That link again is betterhelp.com/selfwork to get 10% off your first month of services. In France this past week, a verdict was handed down, finding Dominique Pelicot and at least 50 other men guilty of rape of the same woman. That woman, Gisèle Pelicot, made the extremely brave decision to come forward publicly as the victim of those rapes. They were all engineered by her husband, who would knock her unconscious with drugs and then invite other men to have sex or rape her without her consent or even knowing what was happening. He raped her himself in the same manner, and when she believed that she was losing track of hours of time or maybe she had some kind of neurological disorder, Dominique, of course, lied to her, but would take her to doctor after doctor, all the while telling her that her fears weren't legitimate, basically using a severe type of gaslighting. She thought she must be crazy, and there were times she became suicidal, But there was much more. Here I'm going to quote an article in The Independent out of Great Britain that lays out how she found out that she'd actually been the victim of rape over decades of time. A security guard at a local supermarket saw her husband committing a crime and called in the police. She had no idea why she was called into the police station. She believed it was to discuss the upskirting allegations made against her husband of 50 years. This was in November of 2020. Referring to him as a super guy, she had no awareness that detectives were about to blow apart her seemingly idyllic life with Dominique Pellicot, who she had met at the age of 19. When he was arrested at a shopping center 2 months previously for covertly trying to take pictures up women's skirts, police had decided to seize his phones and computer. They discovered a meticulously organized library of 20,000 images and videos of 71 men having sex with an unconscious woman. The woman was his wife, the mother of his children, and his lifelong partner. Many of the reports talking about this case stressed the importance of one major shift. And after treating many victims of rape, I couldn't agree more. Gisèle Pellicot decided that instead of carrying the shame on her own shoulders or in her soul that she had felt for so many years and didn't know why, she demanded that the shame of these acts belong to her husband and the other men. That's why she went public. I also found a poignant article in the HuffPost written by a rape victim herself about this situation. She'd never come forward to accuse the two men that had raped her. She had no tapes. It would be a he said, she said. Reading about the French case was both affirming for her and yet even more fear-inducing. Why? I'll once again quote her story. As I watched this case unfold, the most disturbing part was the excuses from this network of predators. Even with damning video evidence, many denied culpability. Their rationalizations ranged from incredulous to absurd. Some claimed they thought Gisèle was pretending to be asleep as part of consensual role play. Others argued that they were told she had taken sleeping pills to relax before their arrival. A few even alleged that Dominique had drugged them, casting themselves as unwitting participants. And one man dismissed his actions by saying, "It's his wife. He does what he likes with her." Now, let me point out that the way Pellicot got in touch with these men was through a French swingers website entitled Without Her Knowledge. So it's very likely that they had already demeaned women and were looking for ways to feel powerful. Why powerful? There are many who believe that rape is more about power than anything else. In this view, sexual arousal and the act of sex itself is the way control is taken. However, there are other views that it's very much about sex, and even that the victim's resistance or fight is a turn-on. As I heard about this case, I wondered if people hearing about it might shake their heads and say, "Well, you know, I just don't believe that could happen." Or certainly, "That would never happen in any of the families we know." Or perhaps even worse, "How could she not know? Why didn't she leave him?" So let me share the story of one of my own clients from years ago. Of course, her true identity will not be revealed in any way. Let's call her Tara. Blonde-haired, blue-eyed, mother of three, a little on the shy side. She came to therapy because of what she described as struggles with self-worth. She was married a second time. Her older husband was good to her kids. She'd had a very dictatorial father who'd loved her and her brothers, and her mom was more submissive. Talking was difficult for Tara, so I sensed that she needed to go slowly in telling me her history. I actually wasn't hearing much of the story. She kind of hopscotched around in filling me in and would look up frequently to check out how I was responding. She hadn't worked in a long time, but she'd been a preschool teacher. She gave that up when she got married for the first time. She didn't have many new friends where she was living with her ex-husband, but described a great bunch of childhood friends. When I asked about her ex and their relationship, she only said that he disappeared and no longer had anything to do with the kids. It was several sessions in when Tara began to open up more to me, hopefully trusting that she was safe in whatever she had to tell me. She asked that if she told me something, would I have to report it to the police? I answered, no, unless there's imminent harm to someone in your home or yourself. Then I'd need to call social services, but would only do that with your knowledge and, in fact, would support you in doing so rather than me. So I knew that something was about to be divulged that was very intense for her and likely involved violence of some kind. For you see, Tara had been not only sexually abused by her husband, he'd created a basement filled with prison-like bondage equipment. And every Thursday night, he'd chain her to the wall and do the same thing Dominic did, but without the drugs. Not only would he rape her, but he'd bring his buddies from the bar where they met every Thursday night, and they'd molest her as well. It happened every Thursday night. The kids were always sent to their grandmother's house on Thursday so the couple could have a date night. He, in typical fashion, had caused a rift between her and her family. That's to get her isolated. That's to make her feel like she has no one but him. They lived far out in the country. He'd done everything he could to isolate her and cause her to feel terror at the idea of anyone finding out. So she kept silent. Yet she was losing more and more weight and had a haunted look in her eyes, which I could still see from time to time as she described her torture. They did see her family from time to time, and without her knowledge, they were getting more and more concerned. Finally, her brothers talked her into letting them into her home when her husband was gone, and terrified, she did what they asked. They found her prison and swiftly picked her kids and her up and left, never to return. They threatened her ex with reporting to the police should he show up, so he never did. Tara was left feeling shame that she'd needed her brothers to help her escape. She felt shame for not leaving herself. She felt shame for what she perceived as, how did I let this happen? She felt shame for just about everything. She hated her body. She hated herself. But she showed no emotion when talking about her ex, at least at first. Her work was cut out for her, and I was honored to do that work with her. Now, let me check in with you. Do you think you've ever known any Taras, or for that matter, any Giselles? You may think you never have. Tara's first husband ran an insurance agency. He was well-liked in the community, and the entire family went to church on Sunday. Sure, he liked to have a few beers on Thursday night with the boys, but who doesn't? There were no trespassing signs on their house. All their cars were kept washed and running. Their kids were doing well in school. There were no outward signs of the Thursday night chaos. For the rest of the week, all appeared normal. So let's take a break, and we'll be back in just a moment. Did you know that perimenopause can begin as early as 35 or 40? If you're a woman, you may have experienced subtle hormonal changes much earlier than we used to believe menopause began, and you don't know what to do or where to get really good information. Perimenopause, or the years prior to the time when your body begins to slow down and eventually stop menstruating, it's a natural process, as is menopause itself. But that doesn't mean they don't have their own unique difficulties. Certainly, perimenopause threw me for some emotional loops, and some of those loops can be heavily intertwined with mental and emotional struggles. The good news is you don't have to suffer through it anymore, because now we have Hormone Harmony, a formula made only with herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. It's become a phenomenon. Women cannot stop talking about it. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. That's 50 orders in the time it takes you to listen to Self-Work. Now, for a limited time, you could get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code SELFWORK at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code SELFWORK for 15% off today. Here are some United States stats from a Psychology Today article from 2022. Between 14 and 25% of women are sexually assaulted by intimate partners during their relationship, spouse or boyfriend. Between 10 and 14% of married women will experience rape by their intimate partner. If you're in an abusive relationship, 40 to 45% will be sexually assaulted during the course of the relationship. According to one study, rape by a marital partner has been four times more common than rapes by strangers. 18%, almost one in five, of female marital rape survivors reported that their children witnessed the assault. And I promise you, I've heard that over and over again. Marital and intimate partner rapes are underreported. Only 30% of all rape victims ever report the crime to police. That's basically one in three. And the percentage of married women who reported a spousal rape is even lower. And it's just as bad or worse in other countries. I just looked at a couple of articles. Before 1992, marital rape was not illegal in the United Kingdom. The common law at the time stated that a husband could not be guilty of raping his wife because she was considered to have given ongoing consent through the marriage contract. I would have been 37 in 1992. This is just abhorrent to me. Now, I looked at another one from India. Among married women aged 18 to 49 who had ever experienced sexual violence, 83% report their current husband and 13 report a former husband as the perpetrator. That is incredible. So I bet you know someone given these statistics. Or maybe you are that someone. Please know that you're not alone, that the abuse is not your fault, that the shame belongs to the person who's hurting you, and that sexual abuse most often occurs in families. You could reach out anonymously to domestic violence shelters and rape centers in your community because leaving can be dangerous and very hard, especially with children. Unlike Tara, you might not have a family that will notice and come to your rescue. But you are not alone.
Speak pipe message from DrMargaretRutherford.com.
Let's listen to the listener voicemail for this week.
My mother had serious issues with self-worth. Several times I saw her hit herself and shout at herself, quote, stupid, 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 unquote. I am university educated and I chose an uneducated, very dyslexic partner. I find it very difficult to be patient with him, and my default is to shout at him and make him feel he's stupid. How can I change this, and what kind of therapy or therapist can I choose?
As I listened to this woman looking for help, I knew the exact attitude that I myself can create if I don't watch it. An attitude that I heard my mom take from time to time, and although I didn't see it as particularly negative at the time, I now very much can see its pitfalls. You know, it usually happens when I'm tired and feeling a bit sorry for myself, and my thoughts begin to travel in a negative direction. So maintaining awareness is the first step, and I can hear that this listener has done just that. She's become aware of what's called, in its most severe form, transgenerational or intergenerational trauma. Basically, a poor behavior, a poor choice, even abuse can be carried on from generation to generation because you absorb more than you think you do. And if you're not aware of it as a problem, you will likely repeat it. Her mom screamed at herself for being stupid, and she hated hearing it. But now when her husband frustrates or angers her, here comes her own screaming at him for being stupid. She's doing to him what she heard her mom doing to herself. And I think many people find that they have this problem, that they're making a choice that they saw a parent make, and it's abhorrent to them that they're actually beginning to repeat this behavior. But awareness can't be all of it. I'm going to recommend a couple of steps to her that I hope will help her and you. First, she says she's university educated, but chose someone who was not and who is actually dyslexic and seems to still struggle with it. So a question I might suggest for her to ask herself is, what's going on that I or you may have chosen someone like your husband? What were or are you trying to learn? The answer could be many things. Maybe wanting or needing to feel superior or in control, or thinking she could help him become more goal-oriented. It could be many things. If he's willing to go into treatment with her, they could go for several sessions to try to better balance what he actually offers to her in the marriage and what she offers to him. Right now, they're certainly caught in a pattern, it sounds like, that's very negative. She didn't really talk about how he responds to her screaming, but it certainly sounds like that both people are in a very negative spiral and are going to have to work to get out of that spiral. But it can be done. And of course, awareness and taking responsibility is the first step. Here's a second idea. I think they could look together for someone that could help him with his dyslexia, some kind of adult center for learning disabilities. He may never have had a really good chance to try to adopt some of the behaviors that people who are dyslexic can do. This is not an area I know a lot about, but I have family members, for example, that had learning disabilities. He had dyslexia, in fact, and as an adult, he learned to overcome it. Now, a third idea is that perhaps this listener could try individual therapy. It could help her begin to trace back to better understand how she was hurt by her mom's low self-worth. What was it like for her to watch her mother scream at herself, stupid, 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 and even harm herself? That's certainly not emotionally stable. She didn't get to see a woman or a maternal figure who felt pretty good about herself and acted in conjunction with that. So what kind of loss was that for this listener? Maybe some of her anger comes from that grief and gets triggered by her husband. Maybe you felt as if you had to mother your own mother. If you did, then that could be a huge part of the picture. It's wonderful that you've become aware. There are also some great books on women and anger. An older classic that I really like is called The Dance of Anger by Harriet Lerner. Here's one quick fourth idea. How are you or are you at all taking care of yourself? If you walk in the door and you get irritated by the same things that always irritate you, sometimes that's about that you're running around on empty. Because basically you're saying, I should expect something different. And when it doesn't happen, you fly off the handle. I know about this, been there, done that. So maybe this is also about better self-care. Thanks so much for sending in your question, and I hope some of these ideas are helpful to you. This is the first episode in 2025. Welcome to your new year. I would love to welcome you to our Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/selfwork. It's an international group, and we support each other, offer laughter and friendship. We do not allow political or religious comments, so we try to keep it very safe. It's also true that now if you listen to the Self-Work podcast on Apple, you'll find a transcript of the episode. So if you're someone who likes to read what you're listening to, or you just want to read it again, you could go to Apple Podcasts and listen there. It's really a great feature that they offer now. I'm also trying to brainstorm with my team about a way that all of you could support one another, all of you listeners of Self-Work. We're talking about maybe creating a Facebook page or something where you could also safely interact with me and other listeners to this podcast. We're still on the back burner with that, but if you have any ideas, let me know. Of course, you can always subscribe to drmargaretrutherford.com. You'll get a free ebook about taking apart sort of and trying to understand your own ways to protect yourself and defend yourself that you learned in childhood. And it's a great way to keep up with me. You'll get a newsletter once a week with my blog post and my podcast. And I'd like to invite any of you over to my fairly new YouTube channel. If you just put in YouTube, Dr. Margaret Rutherford, it'll take you there. Thank you as always for being here. I cannot tell you how grateful I am that 9 years after I started this podcast, we're still up and going. And that's only true because of your support and help and participation and listening. So please share. Please take care of yourself, your loved ones, and your community. I'm Dr. Margaret, and this has been Self-Work.